want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. I am your host, Matt Halleck, and I am so honored that you are listening. I'm honored that you have decided to join the Man Warrior King movement in whatever capacity you have so far. It's been a pretty busy July and August for Man Warrior King. We've been just growing. There have been awesome, awesome men who have been joining the movement, who have been buying the book, The DNA of a Man, who have been joining into the Man Warrior King Council and the Facebook group. And we got some cool things going. We're going to be starting up regular ministry sessions live, like Zoom calls that we're going to stream live to the Facebook group as well. So I'm just excited for what's going on. And we got men who are just reporting that God is doing something in their lives through the book, The DNA of a Man. And it's weird to even talk about. It's like, I'm humbled by it. So I just want to thank you, gentlemen. I want to thank you for the ones who have taken the extra time and effort to communicate with me. I want to thank you, even if you haven't, but you've still been reading it and you've been listening to what the Lord is doing through you or in you through it. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Today, I am continuing the series, the Origins series. And Origins 1 was all about discovering the fatherhood of God. Origins 2 was about growing up into the Lord through fire. And in this third part of the Origin series, I just want to share, I want to encourage you with a message on forging a bond with Jesus. Because I think it's time we kind of redeem Christianity, if I can say that. And it sounds presumptuous to say, but really, like, a lot of the terms, a lot of the phrases that we use nowadays to talk about being a Christian, they can be a little bit stale, a little bit dry. Like even being a Christian, following Jesus, you know, having a Jesus-centered something or other, it can all start to just feel like a religion. And I will readily be one of the first to tell you that in my life, I have really had to go to war against legalism, against the drive to perform in order to earn my keep. The drive to perform in order to earn God's love, in order to earn his approval or his acceptance. But I've never really just done a lip service in Christianity. I've never really just been happy to go through the motions and check all the boxes. From the time I was a kid, I've wanted the real deal. I have wanted to know God. People taught me that Jesus died and rose again, which means he must be alive, so I needed to interact with him in a living way. And that, my friends, is really, that's the thing that separates us from everybody else. And I don't necessarily mean man, warrior, king from everybody else. I'm not saying that. It's what separates us as kingdom men from the other men in the world, in society, is that we are not, and it even separates kingdom men from Christian men, in my opinion. Kingdom men understand that there is a very real and alternate reality that we are a part of, that we are living in. Kingdom men understand that this is not just a list of do's and don'ts given to us by God. Kingdom men understand this is a completely different way of doing life that has power available in it, that has transformation available in it, that has unshakability available in it, that has complete lack of worry available. A kingdom man is different than a Christian man because a kingdom man is consumed by the presence and power of Jesus. A kingdom man is consumed by the kingdom of Jesus reigning in our midst. I imagine a kingdom man, and I imagine a kingdom man as a sponge that is dunked into a bucket. The kingdom man is completely immersed in a different world, lives according to different rules, lives according to different standards of what is and is not a good decision, lives according to different standards of what is wise and what is irresponsible. Because a kingdom man doing the thing that he knows is wise will often look really irresponsible to the world. Right? So a kingdom man, like the sponge dunked in a bucket, is immersed in that and also completely filled through every single vein with the presence and power of Jesus. And I don't think the term Christian man can often, at least as it can't always describe that. So what I'm after for us in the Man Warrior King movement is that we be kingdom men. That this goes beyond religion. This goes beyond, it even goes beyond us just looking to the Lord, looking to the Spirit to give us a better day. It goes beyond us looking to Jesus to fix our problems. It goes, beyond using Jesus as a means to an end, and it goes into Jesus being the end himself. It goes Jesus being the means and the end. And we're not just looking to him to fix our problems. We are looking to him for complete and total transformation from the inside out so that we start living as the men that we know we are meant to be. We start living as the men that we're secretly jealous of when we watch John Wayne movies, for example. See, we are after transformation. And here's the deal. If we get transformation, then we enter into the way of life that God designed from the beginning to function at optimum capacity, which then carries with it the added benefit of allowing for the most rebuilding possible of the things that have broken down in our lives. Now, there are not guarantees that the circumstances will get rebuilt as our inner man gets rebuilt. But we can guarantee that if we get rebuilt on the inside through the power of the Holy Spirit, then we are setting ourselves up for the best chance at rebuilding those circumstances, including marriage. And I wanted to do this Origins episode about the kingdom before the Origins episode coming next about marriage, because this really is more important. Even though marriage tends to be the primary or one of the primary pain points for a lot of guys, it is not the most important thing. The most important thing is who we are in God's kingdom. It is our identity as a son of the Father. And that's what we talk about in the DNA of a man. That's the whole part one of the book, becoming a man of identity. And I want for you guys, gosh, so many have talked to me about, man, my life is so hurting. In whichever way, whether it's marriage, whether it's just feeling like your own, in your own self, like you're not cutting it, whether it's work or health or whatever, so many of us, our lives are hurting. And we want to fix those circumstances, but I'm pretty sure that Jesus is saying, hey, I want to fix you. And then if we do that, you're going to be blown away by my power in your life. So how do we get from feeling like over here, if you're watching on video, over on one side is all the real struggles of life, that I just want God to somehow reach in and fix, while over here, on the other side, is Jesus or church. And somehow the two don't always mix. How do we get out of that realm where it seems like, God, don't you see what's going on over here? And somehow he's stuck over on the other side. How do we get out of that? I would contest, I would contest that for many of us, it begins with a perspective shift. And it begins with a perspective shift. Many, really, but we could talk about the perspective shift on ourselves and understanding the true nature of the gospel and what God says about us. Yes, that could go there. It could entail a perspective shift on God himself, his character, and our idea and fixing our idea that somehow his goodness involves him doing evil things. Yes, his goodness uses evil and changes it into good, but we have this idea that his goodness means that he's going to do the things that Jesus said Satan does. Jesus said that it's the enemy who steals, kills, and destroys, and yet we often put those things on God as doing them. You can't tell me that it was God's delight to take my best friend from this earth while he had two very, very young children and a wife who loved him dearly at 30 years old. You can't tell me that God takes a kid's dad from him. But you can tell me that in the middle of that loss, of that child being robbed of his father, of that wife, our dear friend, being robbed of her husband, you can tell me that it's God who brings healing from those ashes. That's okay. I'm getting off on a rant, though. That's not the perspective shift that we need. What we need is a shift in perspective for what is the point of the gospel? What is the point of being saved? Are we coming to Jesus so that we can have a life that is easier or better? Now, I will be the first to say that Jesus promises abundant life. I'll be the first to say that when you live in the kingdom, you get to inherit some pretty cool stuff, such as doing miracles, such as walking around praying for random people to be healed and seeing it happen in the moment. You get to inherit the promises of a thriving, intimate marriage. Now, I know many of us have not seen that promise come to pass in one way or another, and I'm very sorry for that. Nonetheless, it is a promise given. There are several promises given for that. But is the point of our coming to Jesus so that we can get these things, or is it so that we can become like him? See, so many times we get stuck in these hard positions of life, and we think that the life circumstances are a sign that God is not doing anything. We think that the life circumstances are a sign that God has forgotten us or is ignoring us or isn't pleased with us. Because if the circumstances don't match up, then therefore that is a commentary on God's opinion of us at the moment. And that's a tragic place to be in, and it's a deadly trap to be in. But what if the point of our living in Jesus is not so our day goes better? What if it's so that we make days better? What if it's so that we become the kind of man who makes the day better? We wake up and we're faced with every bit of resistance, every bit of discouragement, every bit of opposition and persecution. And instead of taking that to mean, man, it's one more day where I'm alone and God isn't with me or for me, we take that to mean, all right, it's one more day for me to do my work on this canvas called life and bring the beauty of heaven to this canvas of chaos. So then we begin to not let life tell us whether or not God is close to us. And we begin to seek him for him. We begin to seek God in the secret place for his sake, to be with him, to know him, and to let him know us. And we say, God, I've been getting torn apart by life. I've been getting tossed around by the waves and the storms. And I need you to change me into the kind of man that is representative of every bit of gospel. I need you to make me into the kind of man for whom the verse, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. God, I need to be the kind of man that embodies that verse. We don't come into the kingdom in order to get shiny objects. We come into the kingdom to become the shiny object. And then we watch as we become more and more like Jesus, where he walked through his world and he changed everything that didn't match the heart of heaven. We get to do the same. We get to sleep in the middle of a storm and stand up and say, peace, be still, and it listens. Talk about confidence. But in order to become that man, we really need to know God and not just know about him. We really need to know his person. We need to become like Moses, where it says that he knew God as a friend, spoke with him face to face. We need to be his friend like Abraham. We need to be his friend like David. We need to get to know him and be so covered and immersed in his voice that that thing is the primary influence on our lives. Not the news, not our wives, not our bank account, not the thoughts in our own head, but God's voice. God wants a generation of men who know his voice, not just from reading the Bible, not just from verses. He wants a generation of men who know his voice from the real present speaking that he is doing over us. He wants a generation of men who hear the Father's heart speak each day. For me, my experience has been like growing in that through nothing sexy other than spending freaking time with him. Spending time alone with Jesus in the Word and praying and journaling and worshiping. And it's like this presentation of myself to him for a given time of my day where I say, Jesus, I don't have the ability to become you. And I never will. I don't want to become you, but I don't have the ability to be Christ on the earth. I don't have the ability to become like you in my own. I'm here. I'm presenting myself before you, and I need to know you. I need to know you so much, Jesus. I need to know your ways. I need to know your hand moving in power. I need to know your strength, and I need to see it. Yeah, and there's places in my life that are desperately hurting, and I need your touch in those places. But even before they get fixed, I need to know that you're with me, God. Like Jacob wrestling through the night with God. I'm afraid, he was saying. I'm afraid that my brother's going to kill me come morning. And yeah, I would really love for you to fix that. But whether that's fixed or not, I am not going to let go of you. I need you to bless me, and I need you, God. And the fight didn't end when God somehow, you know, miraculously changed Esau's heart. The fight ended when God gave him a new name and touched his hip and made him limp. Jacob received a revelation of the heart of God. Jacob received a revelation of his own identity. Jacob received transformation from Jacob to Israel. So what we need, gentlemen, is a relationship with the Lord that is built independent of our life circumstances, where we can begin in the wilderness to get stronger even before the wilderness becomes lush. We need a relationship with the Lord where we can begin to thrive, as the Word says, in season and out of season. Jeremiah 17 says that a man who trusts in the Lord is like a stream planted by the waters, and his leaf doesn't wither. It stays green. He bears fruit even in the seasons of drought. And the only way to get there, the only way to actually be okay, to actually be thriving, to actually be joyful and confident when life around you is in ruins, is to get so irrationally lost in the presence of Jesus that you are just plain and simple okay, because in truth, that's all that matters. And when we get to know him well, man, we can see some really, really cool things happen. I could tell you story after story of the voice of God in different ways, giving prophetic words to people about things that I had no idea were actually true. God putting a picture of somebody in my mind to stop and pray for on my way home from a meeting, and seeing this person walking on the side of the street and going and talking to them and praying for them while they thought I was crazy. I could tell you stories of praying for people to be healed and watching while E. coli retreats from a young boy's kidneys, or watching while Jesus heals a broken femur, Jesus heals car accident injuries, watching while Jesus heals a broken toe in a downtown library. I could tell you stories of different seasons in life of wrestling with the Lord and hearing Him meet me in the secret place and speaking to my spirit. If we can dig in to Jesus, with Jesus, then we can get such an unstoppable source of strength. And we can begin to actually rise above our circumstances to thrive in the middle of them. We can begin to thrive in the face of whatever tension in the marriage, in the home. And all of a sudden, people, wives, circumstances don't have power over us anymore. And lest you think I have arrived, I have not. Gentlemen, I preach these podcast episodes to myself as well. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God is faithful to do the transformation work. So I'm inviting you. This is an invitation. An invitation to be transformed even before your life gets rebuilt. Will you take that invitation? Thanks, gentlemen, for listening. This is Matt Halleck, and it's been another episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. Until next time, much love to you, brothers.
This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, you are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.